Welcome to the Urban Highlights Podcast. We're glad to have you back. Today, we're exploring another fascinating city, sharing plenty of facts and curious stories with you. And today, we're charting a course for, what you might call the ultimate crossroads of civilization, right to the Egyptian coast. We're taking a deep dive into Alexandria. This city isn't just ancient history packed away in a museum. It's really this profound symbol of intellectual ambition, but also, interestingly, physical vulnerability. So our mission today is to kind of cut through some of the mythology, maybe, and see how its millennia-old past really shapes the vibrant modern city you find there today.
Absolutely. It's a really essential place to understand. What's fascinating, I think, is that Alexandria, often called the Pearl of the Mediterranean, is not some sleepy historical site. Not at all. It's strategically located right there on the northern Egyptian coast. And it manages this incredible blend of profound ancient grandeur with a really thriving modern pulse.
Right. And when you arrive, you feel that immediately. The atmosphere is just intense. You've got these wide boulevards, the glare of neon lights at night. And then there's this wonderful, really evocative smell. It's like sea salt mixed with grilled fish cooking nearby. It feels very modern, very bustling. But somehow you can almost feel the immense weight of, 2,300 years of history kind of pressing down on the asphalt beneath your feet. It's palpable.
It really is. And that intensity, that energy, it's partly just down to its sheer scale. I mean, we're talking about a true metropolis here. Alexandria is Egypt's second largest city. It sprawls over approximately 2,600 square kilometers, which is huge. And it's home to about 5.5 million inhabitants. So yeah, this isn't some dusty historical footnote. It's a massive living, breathing entity.
Okay, a city this big that's been so central to global events for so long, it must have some kind of, central organizing principle. Yeah. Where do we even begin with the backstory? It's immense.
You really have to start with the founder's intent. The city was established back in 331 BC by Alexander the Great himself. And crucially, his intention wasn't just to add another city to Egypt. He envisioned something new, a Hellenistic center, a global hub for trade, sure, but primarily it was about knowledge. And that vision, it was absolutely realized under the Ptolemies. That's the dynasty of Macedonian Greeks who ruled after Alexander's death.
Yeah.
Alexandria very quickly became the cultural and intellectual epicenter of the entire Mediterranean world. It was deliberately set up to challenge older centers of power, like Athens. This really was its golden age, and it was built on this incredible pursuit of universal knowledge.
And that pursuit gave us these legendary symbols that, we still kind of mourn today, don't we? Like the legendary Library of Alexandria. It wasn't just a building with scrolls. It was this massive state-sponsored attempt to collect everything, the entire body of known global literature and science. That kind of intellectual ambition, it's almost hard to grasp today. And its loss, it's become the ultimate symbol of cultural catastrophe, hasn't it?
Absolutely. A catastrophic loss. And the other defining symbol from that era, the Pharos Lighthouse. It demonstrates the city's technological ambition just as powerfully. I mean, it wasn't just big, those huge, maybe around 100 meters tall. It was a technological marvel. Its reflective mechanism, the mirrors, were apparently so advanced that ships could see its light from, they say, 35 miles out at sea.
35 miles? That's incredible.
It really is. It was basically a navigation system that was unrivaled until, probably the 20th century.
Wow. It's just amazing to think of the scale and sophistication of that ancient city. But of course, power shifts. That baton kept being passed on. Romans, Byzantines, Arabs, Ottomans, and then finally the British, they all rule Alexandria. How does that whole succession show up physically in the city today?
Well, it creates these fascinating physical layers.
Yeah.
The city is like a palimpsest, one layer written over another. You see this incredible blend of architecture. There are surviving Roman amphitheaters, for example. And then you have these beautiful, airy Art Deco buildings that were constructed during the colonial era, particularly the early 20th century. Each power added something. The Romans expanded the port. The Arabs maintained it as a key center. And then the Ottoman and later European influences added that unique sort of Mediterranean ease you still feel.
That blending of history, that leads us perfectly into talking about the current culture, doesn't it? Because it doesn't feel quite like Cairo, maybe not quite like Rome either. It really is this unique fusion of maybe Oriental flair and that Mediterranean lightness or ease you mentioned.
Exactly. And its modern identity is very consciously trying to address that great historical wound, the loss of the library.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the Bibliotheca Alexandrina, which opened in 2002. It's the stunning modern architectural tribute to the ancient library. Huge building. And it's designed to hold millions of books, plus numerous research centers, museums, exhibitions. It's a massive complex.
But that raises a question, doesn't it? Does the sheer scale of the architecture, or even the mission of the modern library, can it really capture the symbolic weight of the original? Is it even possible to truly replace a myth like that?
And that's the central tension, I think, that defines Alexandria today. You have this modern architectural marvel trying its best to fill a legendary, almost mythical void. You see that same contrast, that same dialogue between past and present. When you look at the Cape Bay Citadel, it's this formidable fortress right on the harbor. And it stands on the exact spot where the ancient Ferrisal Lighthouse once towered over the city. So it's a constant reminder of what was and what is.
Right. And if you really want to get deep into the city's layers, physically, right. I mean, you absolutely have to visit the Kamal Shakufa catacombs. They're incredible. One of the largest known Roman burial complexes anywhere. But the truly unique thing there is the art. You see these Hellenistic style sculptures, but they're depicting traditional Egyptian gods like Anubis, but he's wearing Roman armor.
That syncretism, that blending.
Exactly. That tells you pretty much everything about Alexandria's complex identity, doesn't it?
It really does. But for all the history, daily life today is very much lived right there on the water. The famous Corniche, the waterfront promenade, that's really the main artery of the city. It's where everyone gathers. You've got beaches, bustling coffee houses, fishermen, and always that constant mesmerizing view of the deep blue Mediterranean Sea.
And if you're experiencing life by the water, you definitely have to taste the city, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because that deep cosmopolitan past, especially the Greek and Italian influences, it isn't just in the languages you might still hear remnants of. You taste it directly in the food, particularly in the unique way Alexandria approaches seafood. It's famous for it.
Oh, absolutely. It's renowned for its fresh fish. If you go, you really must try saideia. That's a classic dish fish served with spiced rice, onions, and this rich tomato sauce. It's delicious. Or, you know, just get one of those amazing crispy baked fish sandwiches from one of the small harbor restaurants. Simple, but so good. That cuisine is a direct echo of its melting pot history.
Yeah, you can taste the history. And that melting pot legacy, it does persist today, doesn't it? Even though the demographics have shifted. Arabic is obviously the main language now, but the past is so rich that you still find French, Italian, and Greek influences lingering in street names, family histories, maybe even a few words heard on the street.
That's right. Because historically, for centuries, the city was home to these massive communities, Greek, Italian, Jewish communities. They really solidified its role as a truly cosmopolitan center. Now, even though those communities largely departed, particularly in the mid-20th century, their cultural DNA, you could say, it remains woven into the urban fabric. You can still feel it.
So where does the social heart of the modern city beat now?
Well, you definitely find the energy in the crowded cafes, for sure, in the hectic, bustling bazaars, and absolutely in the football stadiums. The passion for the local club, Al Ittihad Alexandria, is, well, it's legendary. It's a huge unifying force in the city. And there's also this great, simple ritual you see every single day. At sunset, especially the younger generation, they gather all along the Corniche by the sea, just watching the sky change color over the Mediterranean. It seems like this daily moment of collective calm in what is otherwise a massive, buzzing city. This is a lovely image. Now, shifting gears a bit, let's talk economy and infrastructure, because Alexandria's economic importance really can't be overstated. It hosts the largest port in Egypt, period. That makes it an absolutely critical hub for shipping and trade, connecting the Mediterranean to the massive Nile Delta economy and beyond. So the key economic drivers are, naturally, fishing, a lot of industry centered around the port activities, and of course, tourism. And thankfully, that tourism is driven by both those beautiful beaches and its priceless historical significance. It has both appeals.
Okay, wait, here's something fascinating about the infrastructure itself. That Alexandria streetcar system, you mentioned the colonial era, it was established way back in 1863, which makes it the oldest in all of Africa. That's incredible. That puts it in the same league as the very first systems in places like New York or London, doesn't it? What does that tell us about Alexandria's global standing back in the 19th century?
It tells us it was a massively important global city, especially during that colonial pre-Suez Canal era. It was seen as a major investment hub, really considered on par with major European capitals at the time. And the amazing thing is, that old streetcar system, it still runs today. Those distinctive blue trams.
Still running.
Still running. It provides this wonderfully nostalgic, but still quite practical way to get around parts of the city. It's literally a living piece of history rattling down the streets. And just briefly on governance, the city itself is the capital of its own governorate, the Alexandria Governorate. It's administered by a governor who's appointed by the central government down in Cairo. And it continues its historical role as a global connector too, maintaining partner city relationships with places like Thessaloniki in Greece and even Baltimore in the U.S.
We've spent a lot of time on the history and the culture, which is inescapable in Alexandria. But let's consider the environment, the natural setting that ultimately dictates its very survival.
That's a crucial point. Geographically, Alexandria is in a, well, a precarious position. It sits on this very narrow strip of coastline, basically squeezed between the Mediterranean Sea and the incredibly fertile Nile Delta just behind it. The climate is classic Mediterranean, hot, dry summers and generally mild, wetter winters.
And we know from history, don't we, that storms and high water, maybe even earthquakes and tsunamis, posed enormous threats to the ancient city. They definitely contributed to the destruction and, famously, the submersion of many of the classical sites. Parts of the ancient royal quarter are underwater now.
Which raises the really urgent modern question. What about the threats now? Because that vulnerability, the one that existed thousands of years ago, has arguably become existential today. Rising sea levels, linked to climate change, are a major immediate problem for Alexandria's future. It's not theoretical, it's happening. The coastal erosion is so severe that sections of the Corniche require constant reinforcement, building new barriers. And as you said, ancient structures near the coast, or what was the coast, are now permanently submerged. The city is quite literally fighting the sea to survive. It's a stark reality.
That really makes the city's endurance, its vibrancy, despite that constant threat, all the more poignant, doesn't it? Okay, to start wrapping up, let's touch on just a couple more of the incredible figures and interesting facts connected to this unique spot. I mean, it was, most famously perhaps, the birthplace of Cleopatra VII, the last pharaoh of Egypt. Her story, her life and death here, basically defined the end of the entire Hellenistic era.
An incredible historical weight right there. And Alexandria's role as an intellectual and artistic stage continued right through the 20th century. You had the great Greek poet Kavafis Konstantin Kavafei. He wrote some of the most famous, most beautiful poems in modern Greek literature, and he lived and worked right here in Alexandria. He used the city, its atmosphere, its ghosts as his primary muse and backdrop. His poems are steeped in Alexandrian sensibility.
It's really no wonder the city picked up that nickname, Little Paris on the Mediterranean, back in the 19th and early 20th centuries. That phrase seems to perfectly capture that unique kind of glamorous fusion of, well, Oriental flair and European sophistication that defined it then.
It really does encapsulate that specific moment. So, if we try to synthesize all this, what does Alexandria really mean today? I think it stands as this powerful symbol of magnificent ambition, intellectual, architectural, cultural ambition, but also of intellectual obsession, maybe, and profound fragility. It's a city that seems defined by loss in many ways. The loss of the pharaohs, the catastrophic loss of the library, and now this very real present threat of losing its very coastline to the rising sea. And yet, despite all that, it persists, it endures, it somehow carries the magic, the weight, the complexity of its millennia-old past right into the heart of the 21st century. It's quite unique.
A truly fascinating place. Well, that's all we have time for today on Alexandria. Thank you for tuning in again. I really appreciate your comments and subscriptions to this channel. It helps us a lot. Be sure to tell your friends about this podcast and share it on the social media platforms you use. Thanks, and see you next time.